Well, good morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning as we get ready to hear what he would speak to us this morning. Just want to make one quick announcement that I want to talk to all the men in the house just for just 30 seconds. Men, I believe that God is trying to raise up an army of men that would serve him, that would step out of comfort zones, that would go to new levels in him, in the service of him, in connecting and being involved in the church, in the body of believers. And we have a men's ministry that we're moving forward with, and God's doing something in. And this upcoming October 19th and 20th, we're doing an overnight to connect with men, to build each other up, to allow God to speak to us on our role as godly men in the church, in our families, and in the community. And so I would encourage you to pray about it, to think about it, and to sign up to come. If your wife is here with you, wives, I would encourage you to encourage your mate to get involved. I believe there are some great things happening and are going to happen, and I believe that it's time for men to take their rightful place in the church. For so many years, it's been the women doing a lot of the things, and thank God for that, because they've carried the burden of the ministry and of the kingdom of God on their shoulders. But God is calling men to stand up, and I want to encourage you to be a part of this. And if you want more information, it's $25. It's an overnight stay. As soon as I said camp, some of you disconnected. Just so you know, I don't camp. I glamp. Okay? That means there must be running water, a real bathroom, and a shower. There must be an ironing board and an iron for me to go. I am going to this. This is the place to be. Not only because it's an amazing facility, but the presence of God is going to be overwhelming there. And so I would encourage you to be a part of that. In the back is our men's leader, Mark Richmond. If you just want to wave to us, Mark. Mark will be in the atrium after service. Grab a hold of him and ask him the questions about it. And it might be something for you. I hope and pray that you, if your schedule allows you to be a part of it, you don't have to go for the overnight. You can come Friday. You can come Friday to Saturday, or you can just come Saturday. Whatever's going to fit your schedule. Don't miss out. A lot of good things happening. So, all right, we're going to jump into the Word. Amen? Were you guys blessed last week? I know I was blessed to be able to sit and hear Bishop preach and share a word with us. It was, you know, I was going over my notes. I encourage you to take notes. I take notes anytime I get to hear someone preach, because there's nuggets of truth that God gives us that in our busyness of life we forget about. But during the week we can go back and pull open and go over again. And so I was going through those, and I hope that you were really blessed with the word last week. And I believe that if you open your spirit man today and you open yourself to what God would say, I believe that God's going to touch you today in a new way. I want to speak a message to you. I've entitled it, Perception Isn't Always Reality. Perception isn't always reality. What you and I see with our eyes isn't always reality, isn't always truth. If you don't believe me, let me give you a test on this. Go ahead, Annie, show me slide number one. There's a duck. Oh, it's a rabbit, see? I see a duck, you see a rabbit. Annie saw the absolute opposite of myself. And so what'll happen is I see this duck, you see the rabbit, and you'll tell me, no, Pastor, it's a duck, or no, Pastor, it's a rabbit. And because what I see, that's what is true. Do you see what I'm saying? You understand where I'm going with this? Show me the second slide. Some of you will tell me the top line is longer than the bottom line. Some of you will be like, no, the top line is much longer. It's a little bit longer than the bottom line, but the truth of the matter is they're exactly the same distance. It's just that once you open up the end of the arrow, it seems to stretch the line out just a little bit farther. But some of us will fight tooth and nail to defend which one we see as being the truth, as being reality, because what I saw in my natural, in my carnal eye, tells me one thing. Even though it may not be true, we will camp there. We'll be like, no, this is concrete reality. And I believe that today the Lord is saying that he's going to do a new work in us. He's going to show you and I how to have the ability to open our spiritual eyes to see what he's doing around us, to see how he's moving and how he wants to move and what he wants to do, and that we're not going to look at the things of God through the natural, but we're going to look at the things of God in the spiritual. I'm going to give you an example of a few things this morning about men that were in a boat that thought they were dying, when the truth of the matter is they weren't really dying at all, but they perceived it because of the storm that they were in. And so I want to give you those nuggets later on, but let's go to the scripture this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you have a phone or whatever you may write or read your word on, go ahead and open up the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, and we're going to read to you a few passages here this morning. Do you love your word? Who loves the Bible? Makes me think of that Sunday school, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book. Oh, you didn't go to Sunday school? Some of you are old school Sunday school. You remember? We could do Father Abraham on a Sunday. The B-I-B-I-E. I am a C. Y'all need to come to family night. We're having a great time. We're having a fun time in the Lord. You there? Chapter 4, verse 35. This is Jesus calming the storm. The Bible says this, and translations differ. I'm reading from the New Living this morning. But it says, the translation reads different, but the meaning behind it is still the same. Understand that. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. The New King James Version says, although there were other boats there as well. Options. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking over and into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning? Or we're going to drown?" They drew a conclusion by the circumstance that they were in. Through perception, they thought death was imminent. When Jesus woke, he rebuked the wind and said, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for what you have set into motion this morning. Thank you for the plan and the purpose of this service. Thank you for what you would like to do and how you would like to move in our lives individually and corporately. Father, let no man, let no thing stop, block, or hold that back. Let no man, let no person, let no thing allow anything other than what you would want done in this place today. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. See, perception is a very, very powerful tool. I don't want to call it a tool. It's a thing that we use in our lives every day. It's something that a lot of times we use, but we don't always get it right because of what we're perceiving to be as something. Perception, when you look at the definition of perception, is it's the ability to process something with using the senses and to make a determination, to get an understanding of. And so it's being able to say, well, I see this happening, therefore that's really what is going on. It's saying, I hear that noise, and that noise sounds like this, and therefore it must be that. Or I smell something, and that smell that I smell is cookies, and therefore I've made a determination that that's the outcome of my perception, that those are chocolate chip cookies. But you know what? The reality is sometimes what we see isn't what it really is. Sometimes what we're hearing isn't really what the sound we think it may be, or even smelling isn't what we think it is in the oven. And so the problem is, it's not that that's wrong to try to do it. The problem is when we take the result of what we perceived and we make it as a concrete truth when it's not. Because that's where the issue comes in. But the crazy thing, I don't know, but the crazy thing to me is we don't just do it with things in the natural. We do it with things of God. We do it with the Word of God. We do it with moves of God. We do it with outpourings of the Holy Spirit. We see something happening and we perceive it to be truth when it may not be. And so we camp there, and it actually will set a belief pattern in us. It'll become what we believe in and what we stand for, even though it may not be real. It may not be truth. And I believe that today, I know that God today wants to break that mold within us about the spiritual perceptions in our everyday life. He doesn't want us to formulate concrete truths. He doesn't want us to formulate conclusions of things that aren't of him or true in the spirit realm or in the realm of what he's doing or not doing. He wants us to have the ability to not look and live life through our carnal instincts, through our five senses, because the reality is that any time that we get our five senses, the smell, the touch, the hearing involved, there is potential for error. There is potential for error. Because how many of you know, I told the story, maybe you as a child or even now as an adult, you'll be laying in bed at night and your hot water heater kicks in and you have water baseboard heating. If you have that, you know it's not quiet, right? But at 3 a.m, it sounds like somebody's breaking into your house to steal your bags of Doritos that you have hidden that your wife or your family do not know about. So you go into panic mode because someone is coming through the back door. No. It's 25 degrees outside because we live in Buffalo, New York, and it's January, and you have the heat set at 70, and so it has to kick on every now and then, but it makes this crazy noise. But I heard, you heard really the water heater kick on, but you thought it was a burglar. Do you see? And see, so any time that we involve the senses, we can have some mixed signals and can have error. Any time that we involve our mind, our natural mind, there's possible errors involved, right? How many know sometimes we don't think too clear? Right? We don't think too clear all the time, do we? It's like we become different people at a certain point in time, right? We lose all thought, all, and because what we're thinking becomes a belief, and when it becomes a belief, it becomes an action that we live, right? We just lose craziness. If you don't believe me, watch a city that wins the Super Bowl for the first time. Watch what happens. I mean, you're going to watch other cities, but watch what happens. Cars get turned over. They actually will grease lamp poles in cities now so people won't climb them up. Because all of a sudden, people begin to think a certain way and they lose all sanity. Because error gets involved. And that's why it's so important for you and I to understand that it's important for us to have a transformation of the mind. It's time for us not to just have a perception, but we have to have discernment. And there's a difference between perception and discernment. And see, it has to start, though, with a renewing of... No, it has to start with a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, of a relationship between you and the Father, between myself and Jesus. That's where the first step of overcoming perception, taking us down the wrong road. But once I have this relationship with Jesus, once I have this one-on-one, healthy, he's my Lord and Savior, I'm his son or I'm his daughter relationship, then we have to have a renewing of the mind on a daily basis. Because outside of the Bible, outside of being in his presence, it can get kind of hairy out there, right? And so things come across our eyes, they come across our ears, they come across our smells, they come across our touch. And so we need to have a renewing of the mind on a daily basis where the Spirit of God comes in and touches us and refreshes us every single morning. And because what happens is, when we begin to have a renewing of the mind and the Spirit of God refreshes us every day, he begins to bring discernment, because here's what happens. Discernment comes from the inside out, where perception comes from the outside in. You with me on that? See, when we have Holy Ghost discernment, it's because we're filled with this living Spirit of God within us. And he's consumed our heart. And when he consumes our heart, he's consuming our whole being. He's consuming our emotions. He's touching and renewing our minds. So when we see something and we're moving and functioning under spiritual discernment, it comes from the inside out Unlike if I'm doing it in my natural, with my eyes and my hearing and my sight and my touch, because that's an outside thing coming in. And when it comes in, if it's coming from the outside, it can bring a defilement to what I think, to how I feel, to what I believe. But spiritual discernment is just the opposite. It helps us to bring freedom and liberty to us. So we need to understand that. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I know what God is saying, what God is doing. I want to be a part of that move. I want to be a part of where he's going and what he's doing. Let me give you a couple examples if you still are having a tough time with we don't make concrete decisions or realities or truths or beliefs off of perception. Let's talk about people. I love the People Watch. Anyone like the People Watch? I love the People Watch. I'll go shopping with my wife or my daughter. And my son and I will sit on the bench, and I just love to watch people. Just to see what's going on, how they're doing, how they interact with one another. But here's the funny thing about perception. We draw conclusions about people by how they look, how they act, how they dress, how they smell. We draw conclusions. And by drawing that conclusion, we believe that person is just that, or just the way we think they are. You ever do that before? I know I have, and it's totally wrong. It's totally wrong. It's messed up. I was sharing this morning, and actually one of our congregants from the 830 service who I grew up with, and he was laughing because I used an example of a friend of mine who decided, you know, to get full sleeve tattoos. And he started on a back piece and a chest piece, and he bought himself a Harley, and he has all this stuff. And if my buddy came in a tank top and flip-flops in his shorts, and you heard his Harley roll up, immediately you would draw a perception about who he is and what he's really like. Just because of what he has, because the giant wolf or whatever that thing's out over here down his arm, you'd be like, whoa. You would draw a picture and a conclusion and say, that's what he's like. When I could tell you he is the nicest gentleman you'll ever meet, that he would do anything for anybody to help somebody. But because I see him that way, I think he's something opposite. Let me give you a personal example. I was asked to do the musical in college my senior year at Oral Roberts University. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I don't sing. In tune, in key, on beat, clap, run, whatever. But I was asked to join West Side Story. I was like, a friend of mine came up to me and was like, hey, will you do this for me? I'm like, why? He's like, well, honestly, I'm like, well, yeah, be honest with me. Why do you want me to join West Side Story with you? He goes, two reasons. He goes, one, the guy playing Officer Crumpy quit. And you're the only person I know that has a New York accent, and I think you do a great job at it. And you'll get to wear a cool cop uniform. I'm like, I wear a cool cop uniform all the time. I wore my dad's stuff. What's the big deal on that one? And I says, what else? He goes, well, I'm like, why else do you want me to join the musical? He goes, well, because I want to date the lead girl, and I possibly want to marry her, and I need a friend to be there with me. I'm like, all right, I'll go with you. I'll give you your support you need. Now, prior to that, I had a perception of theater. I had a perception of the theater department. I had a perception of people who were in the theater. It's the absolute opposite of who I was at that time in life, but I did it anyways. And I could say to this day it was the greatest thing I ever did. Because of all the perceptions of what people said, of what I saw with my eyes, of even what I heard with my ears, was so off and so not true about so many people. That by including myself into that arena, I got a real truth and understanding about people and those people involved in that particular part of school. And see, we do that all the time. We do that about church too. Well, you know, no one cried during service. No one knelt during worship. It wasn't anointed. Really? So we're judging God's moving by if somebody's kneeling or if somebody's crying? I can work up tears right now. I cried during Disney movies. Does that mean that Disney movies are anointed? Really? I watched the Hallmark Channel. I'm a mess in some of those movies, man. I'm a mess. Does that mean that the Hallmark Channel is anointed? Come on now. Please, I could. It's the same plot in every movie, just different actors. Does that mean it's anointed? No. Just because someone's not crying at the altar, or someone's not laying prostrate, or someone's not, doesn't mean that God's not moving. But we make a perception, oh, service was definitely not anointed because pastor spoke 2 minutes longer than he should have. Really? Now we're saying if it's anointed or not anointed, if it goes too long, or no one talked to me at church, no one likes me. You came 25 minutes late and left 10 minutes early. How do we have time to talk to you? You know what I mean? So what happens is we draw perceptions of what's happening. And then we say, well, it's true. And then we take that to our spiritual things and to our own personal walk with God. God's like, I want you to grow. I want you to be a people that's healthy, that's growing, that's moving forward, that when a situation comes, you're propelled through it, you're taken above and beyond it, that when you pray that you know that I hear you and that my hand is moving in your life, in your children's lives. That's where God wants to take us. He doesn't want us to have a distorted view of him. We at times have a distorted view of God, maybe even because of our bringing up of our childhood or what we've gone through in life, and so we have this distorted view of God that he doesn't love me, he doesn't care about me, when the fact of the matter is throughout the Bible, Jesus is love. He's love. And so how in the world can we have a discernment? How in the world can we have spiritual discernment that's going to, you know, overcome today's perception issues that we may have or may not have? Or if they begin to happen, how do we know that we know that we can work through it? And I think there's, by looking at the passage, there's three questions that demand an answer but a response to in order to grow forward that I read to you that was displayed by the gentleman in the boat with Jesus. The first question I believe that will help us get a better perspective of what God's doing or what God's not doing and what God's saying and what God's not saying. Question number one is, am I in the boat with Jesus? Am I in the boat with Jesus? Think about that. Think about the depth of that. See, Jesus says, hey, we're going to go to the other side. Come and let's go. That's an invitation. He's inviting the disciples who were in the boat with him to go to the other side of the sea, to the other side of, from point A to point B. Where they were going from point A to point B was roughly 5 miles in width there. The farthest part of the sea is 8 miles wide and it's 13 miles long. But Jesus says, you come with me. You ride in my boat. You stay close to everything that I'm, everywhere that I'm going. You be a part of me in a different dimension than those who are on the hill right now. But you need to be in the boat with me. He's telling them, he's asking them, he's inviting them to be a part of what he's about to do. See, because if you think about it from going to the other side, that would tell me that this is going to be an adventure. There's going to be something good happening because I know what you've been doing on this side of the sea, Lord. And I see the miracles and the signs and the lives touched. And now you want me to ride in your boat and go over there. If I'm going to have spiritual discernment, I need to spend time in the boat with Jesus. Because unless you're in the boat with Jesus, you're never going to walk on water. Think about that. Unless you're in the boat with Jesus, we're never going to walk on water. We're not going to go and be the people that he wants us to be. And so, are you in the boat with Jesus? The disciples were in the boat. See, I don't know if you caught when I said choices, because today in life there are multiple choices regarding religion. I said religion. Multiple choices in regarding what God you would want to serve. There's boats all around you and I that seem nice, that perception says, I would love to be a part of that. I would love to be a part of that. But the reality, there's only one boat that has Jesus in it. And the question is, are we in that boat with Jesus? There are multiple ways they could have got around to the other side of the lake, the sea. They could have walked with their sandals. They could have rode a donkey. They could have rode a camel or a horse. They could have swam. There are multiple ways of traveling. There are multiple ways of them getting from point A to point B. Yet Jesus says, I want you to go with me to the other side. That's no different today. Jesus is saying to the church in America, to Southtowns Christian Center, to every person involved, he's saying, I want you to be a part of me every day. Every day. He's inviting us for that personal relationship. And unless we have it, we'll never be spiritual, we'll never have spiritual discernment. You won't. Because if there's no Holy Spirit, there's no spiritual discernment. If there's no presence of the living God within us, there's no spiritual discernment. That's why sometimes maybe we have a hard time reading and understanding the Word, because we're reading it in the natural and not through the eyes of God Himself. Not through the eyes of the Holy Spirit as He reveals the revelation knowledge of the truth of what the Word of God is saying. Are we in the boat? The question demands an answer and a response. The answer is either yes or no, and if the answer is yes, then you're already in there. But if the answer is no, then you need to climb into the boat with God this morning. You need to get into the boat with Jesus. He's calling you to that point, to that place. When we climb into the boat with Jesus, watch what will happen. Watch what will happen. Well, why would I want to get in the boat with Jesus? What makes Jesus' boat so much better than everybody else's boat? Well, I could just point to the cross to begin with. I mean, He's the only God that I know of that died for our sins and who is alive to the day. Or how about this? He's the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all, whose blood was shed on the cross for the remission of sin for all of mankind. How about this, that He's the one that when we face fear, when we face turmoil, when we face worry, He brings peace and joy and comfort and understanding. He's the companion that will stick closer than any brother. Let me take it a step farther. He's a companion that will stay closer than any mother, any father, any son, any daughter. I know some of you don't want to hear it, but it's true, because that's what he'll stick closer than even that. See, He's the one that when our bodies are ailing, He's the one when we're not feeling well, He's the one that when our mind may be in turmoil, He's the one that's by the blood that was shed on the cross brings healing and restoration, brings renewal and revival to the physical body. This is why I need to climb into the boat with Jesus. This is why He's the one that when I don't know, when I don't understand, He brings revelation knowledge to myself and to who I am. He's the one that when I'm tired and I need a place of rest, He's my refuge and He's my strength. He's an everyday present help in the time of trouble. That's who this Jesus is. So why should I get in the boat? That's just a scratching of the surface of what we have in the boat with Jesus. Understand that those things being released in our lives will give you and I ability to perceive what's really going on around us. What's really going on around us and what God is really doing and what God is saying and how God wants to move and how God may not want to move when we think God's wanting to move. Are we in the boat? 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 If you're going to get in the boat, understand this. Take that relationship with Christ serious. It's not a joking matter. Make a commitment to choose to remain there, no matter what the circumstance may be. They didn't jump out of the boat, did they? In the midst of the storm, did they jump out of the boat? No, they were rowing in uniform. They were trying to get from one point to point B, and they began to bail some water. They didn't jump ship in the midst of the storm. Actually, what they did is, what point number two would be, I'll tell you, we'll talk about it in a few seconds, is they actually woke up Jesus. They woke Him up. Some of us may have Jesus in us, but we've put Him to sleep. We didn't allow Him to sleep. We put Him to sleep. We boxed Him. Can I have that bowl back there, please? That prayer bowl in between the door? I need that bowl, please. We've boxed Him. But take the commitment serious. Stay connected. If we're getting in the boat with Jesus, understand this, that we must believe and we must trust. We must maintain communication, developing a lifestyle of prayer and of spending time with Him. Thank you. And spending time with Him. We must do these things. But it gets us to the second point. And the question that asks is will I remain to allow Jesus to sleep, or will I wake Him up? I said that many of us have been invited into the boat with Jesus, and we've jumped in the boat with God. But the problem is, over time, we've taken God and we put Him in this. We put Him in this. We put Him in a box. We put Him in a container, and we close it. And what happens is, we put the container different places depending on the circumstance or the situation. And so maybe we put Him here on the weekends because we're going to go here, and He's over there. Or maybe it's Sunday morning, so I go to my shelf where I put Him, and I pull Him off. And on the way to church, in the midst of an argument or a disagreement with my children or wife, I pull out that thing and I pour it over me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, awaken in me today because I'm going to church. Help me get my church smile on. Help me get my church hallelujah, dance, whatever. Hello, pour. And then we put the empty container in the trunk, and then we step in because we're around church folk. Praise God, hallelujah, brother. It's so awesome to see you. Oh, church is over. Sorry, Jesus. You got to get back in here. Close it up. We put Him to the side. The problem is, if we're doing that, we'll never get proper spiritual perspective on what God wants to do. There they are in the ocean, right? And the storm has come up. And what's amazing to me is that the circumstance of the water hitting the boat and coming in the boat, the rough waves, the disciples arguing, we're going to die, we're going to drown, oh my God, do this, do that, did not wake Jesus up. Think about, has anyone been on the water when it's been rough? You've been on the lake when you get 4 or 5 foot rollers? Or you go out and you're out by the mouth of the river where it comes to the lake and those 4 or 5 foot rollers become now 8, 10 foot rollers. You ever been on that lake? It gets a little rough, doesn't it? You get bounced around. You can't move. You can't this. You can't do that. You might get a little nervous. In the midst of that storm, Jesus is out back sleeping. Nothing woke Him except the disciples calling Him. Calling out to Him, crying out to Him, Jesus, come here. Do you see where I'm going with this? See, do you guys know that God is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful? So God knows everything, right? So did God know about the storm? He did. So if He knew about the storm, then why did He go to sleep? Maybe He went to sleep just to see if His disciples, just maybe, were going to say, oh, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this in my own power, my own ability, my own knowledge, because some of them were fishermen. Some of them spent time on this body of water. But what I need to do to get through this is I got to call on Jesus. I got to call on the guy who's sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow. And that's what he did. They called on Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He gets up and he's like, be still. Then he turns to him, he's like, you got a faith issue, my friend. What's up? That was in today's terms, that's what he would say. What's up, man? Are you serious? You serious? But the fact of the matter is, it's important for us that we must not continue to let Jesus sleep. Understand this about Jesus. In life, when He walks with us in life, there will be times like this storm that will arise. But what I found to be true about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died on Golgotha, whose blood washes away the sin, who by the Holy Spirit has filled me, He gives me strength, power, and ability. He fills me, He gives me this knowledge. What I know about this individual is this, that in the midst of a storm, one or two things are going to happen. He will walk to the storm and say, storm, be still. Or he will take my hand and he will walk with me through the storm. Walk through me through the storm, protecting me, guiding me, watching over me. Because eventually the storm will end. We'll come out of the other side. But here's the reality. If I don't, and if I'm not calling on Jesus, if I'm not waking Christ every morning when I get up, I'm not doing those things that are necessary to actively have that Holy Spirit moving, how can he hold my hand and walk with me? But here's the situation. It can't be just in the midst of a storm. It's got to be every day. We have to wake and stir up the presence of God in us each and every day. Not only getting in the boat, but also not allowing him to be put on a shelf to what we saw here, sleeping in a symbolic way. We need the Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Psalm 37, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Cry out to God. Call upon Jehovah. Cry out, say, Lord, I don't understand. Give me understanding. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, remove that confusion. Father, I don't see with my spiritual eyes right now. There's something that's not, Lord, help me to grow and to connect, to know what's happening. Get in the boat. He's inviting all of us. The Bible says that he stands at the door and he knocks, right? That we would open the door, that he would come in. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. And when we're in the boat and we're connected, don't put them in a box. Don't put them on a shelf. Allow them to be alive and active and moving in everything that we do. From the smallest decision of buying a car to should you date someone or shouldn't you date someone? Should you go to this school or that school? Should you apply to this job or that job? Should whatever decision, that to that type of decision, we include Jesus. I know that sounds weird, but when we do that, things happen. Things happen. I told earlier a story that I was purchasing a vehicle when our kids were little. I used to love those minivans. Everyone has to own a soccer mom's minivan. I mean, come on. And we were purchasing one. And we prayed about it, my wife and I. We were like, Lord, what is it? How much? Blah, 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 the whole deal. And the Lord showed us a number. Don't go over this number. Don't go past this. Fits the budget, fits where I want you to be. So, and some of you were like, really? You even prayed about the vehicle? Yes, we pray about everything. And so we go to the dealer. I work the deal with the dealer. I get everything that I want. That night, I'm in Target shopping, and my phone rings. And at the time, I had that Motorola Flip that I thought was so cool, the silver one. Open that baby up. I'm like, hello? They tell me who they are. Mr. Smart, we have a problem. The numbers that we gave you don't really match up to what we can sell that vehicle to you for. So it's going to be, you know, it was like, I think $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars more than we had agreed on. And I'm like, okay, well, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go back to your general sales manager and just share with them that I'm not buying the car. Because that's all I'm willing to spend, and that's all that's in my budget. And I hung the phone up, and I was at peace. I was at peace because I prayed about it, and the Lord gave us a number and showed us exactly what to do. And I told my wife, I says, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Now this is after dinner. This is at night. 5 minutes, they're going to call me back, hon. You watch. It was about 7 or 8, my phone rings again. Mr. Smarts, I just happened to be able to get a hold of the owner of the dealership, the guy that we really needed to talk to. And he says, I can't let that deal go. So we'll take that first offer that, you know, that the first price we agreed on. I'm like, fabulous. I'll be in the morning. Thank you. God bless. Bye. Cool. See, I didn't waver because Jesus was a part of it. Jesus was a part of it. He was alive and moving within me. And that's so important for us, because when you spend time in the boat, then you hear the voice of God with great clarity and you get understanding of what to do and what not to do. how he's moving, how he's not moving. Which takes me to the third one as we get ready to close this out. The third question that we have to ask ourselves, not only are we in the boat and not only is he alive and active and not sleeping, is he our number one priority? Is he the number one priority in all that we do? I love this part because, you know, the story, because, you know, if you think about this, the disciples came to a realization that even though they knew how to handle themselves, so they thought on the water, they came to the realization the number one thing that is needed was Jesus. So they woke him. How many of ever people have ever heard this statement? I live my life according to the way I see fit to. Anyone ever hear that? I live my life according to the power of Tommy. Anyone ever hear ever people say that? I do life the way I feel fit to do life. I do life the way that I see to be the best for me, for my wife, and for my children. I do life, make my decisions based off of how I feel it would benefit me the most. Anyone ever been there, heard that? The problem with that, because I've done that before, is that with that mentality, I remove God. I remove Jesus. I remove the voice of reason. I remove the voice and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens was I made myself the priority. I made my thinking the priority. I made who I am the priority over who Jesus is in my life. And can I tell you something? This body has a ton of crash and burn marks all over it. When I have made myself above the priority of Jesus and everything. I talked about praying for the car. It's important that Jesus is a part of everything that we do. Our relationships, our homes, our workplace, church. Yeah, you said church? I said church, yeah. Because some people don't come to church for Jesus. They come to church for other reasons beyond Jesus. So even making Jesus a priority in church, it's important. Is Jesus a number one priority in your life? Do we put him above everything? I was with a friend yesterday, and I get so excited to see people do this. We're going to close in prayer. I was with a friend, goes to a different church. And he was telling me, we're talking about the game. You know, I don't know if you guys know, I'm a Bills fan. And we were talking about the game. And he's like, yeah, tomorrow's game, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I can't wait. He says, but you know what? He says, I couldn't miss it. I had to go to church. I went to 4 o'clock mass. He said, I had to get my church in. I had to pray. I had to see what Father was going to teach me. Now, some people are like, well, he went, whatever. He loves the Lord so much that even though he is the biggest football fan I know, he had to go to church. He had to spend time in prayer. He had to spend time, you know, hearing what the priest would teach him about the Bible. I know where he goes, and I've been to service there, and I know how they teach, and they teach parables, and they break down the word, and it's I've been there, so I know. But it's a priority. There's times when my wife calls it date night with my best friend. Every Thursday night, we watch football together. And I'll come over, and I just walk in the house. I don't have to knock, and I can go to the fridge and get all that, and I'll go down into the man cave in the basement, and he won't be there, and he'll come down. He's like, hey, man, I'm sorry I'm late, but I had to say God with my kids. In other words, I had to pray over my children before they went to bed. That takes precedence over hanging out with you in the man cave to watch the Bills game or whatever game's playing on a Thursday night. See, it's a priority in his life. It needs to be a priority in our life. To be able to put those things that are in the natural, those things that may be even in the carnal, aside for what God wants to do in the spiritual. If not, if we're not in the boat with Jesus, if we haven't allowed him to be alive and moving within us, if we haven't made him a priority, and he put up slide number one, we will walk through life saying, it's a duck, no, it's a rabbit. It's a duck, no, it's a rabbit. It's a duck, no, it's a rabbit. Because we won't know. We won't know. We won't know. So we have to get in the boat with Jesus. We have to make him a priority. And we have to continue to make sure that he's alive and moving in every area and every part of who we are. Amen? When we grab a hold of those and begin to apply them, we can stand to our feet. I'm going to close in prayer. Apply them to who we are. I promise you, things will change. And I can say I promise you things will change because I know who I was and I know who I am right now. And who I was is not who I am now because of these simple principles. I got in the boat with Jesus. I've made him a priority in every part of my life. And I continue to have him and ask him to call upon him to be alive and moving in every situation. Good, bad, and indifferent. And when you do that, it's amazing how someone will say, well, that was God. And you'll know that you know that that wasn't God. Or they'll say, that's not God doing that. And you'll be like, no, that really is God moving in that dimension. Because our spiritual eyes will have spiritual discernment. We won't see things through the eyes of the world. We'll see things through the eyes of God. We won't hear through the ears of the world. We'll hear through the ears of God. We won't smell through the nostrils of the world, but we'll smell through the nostrils of God. We won't touch through the hands of our natural fingertips, but we'll touch through the hands of the Spirit, and we'll be sensitive. When we do that, our perspective change. Our perspectives change. Maybe you need prayer for this today. Maybe you need prayer for this. Maybe you're just struggling with it. I would love to pray with you. I'm going to ask the elders to come down, bishop to come down. We would love to pray with you for this. Don't be embarrassed if you struggle with it. Like I told you, I could tell you all my crash and burn stories of not putting Jesus first or not listening to how he was leading me because I let the natural man take over. Or how I said something wasn't God when it was God or something is God when it wasn't God. But if you're struggling with perceiving something to be true and it may not be, because perception isn't always reality. But you want to grow deeper in God and you want to activate the presence of God more and you want to make him a priority, I want to pray with you. Our elders will pray with you. Bishop will pray with you. We will pray. We'll intercede with you and agree that God does something. He begins a new work today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. You can't change yesterday. You can only do something from now and move forward. You can go back and try to right some wrongs that might have been wronged, but you can't undo what happened in the sense of reliving it and re-going through it. So today's a new, fresh day in God and in your walk with God. If you fell out of the boat, yell for a lifeline to be thrown to you. Jesus will pull you back in. He will dry you off. If you got on the wrong boat, jump off that boat and swim to the boat that you need to get on. If you boxed them, open up the box. If you placed them on a shelf, get them off the shelf. If you put them second, make them first. Amen? So I'm going to close in prayer, but if you need prayer, I don't want you to run that way. Run this way, and we will pray with you. But if you need to leave after I'm done praying, I want to thank you for being here. Thanks for being a part of what we're doing. The conference is 4 weeks away, 21 days as of tomorrow away, November 5th and 6th, 4th and 5th. Sunday morning will be session 1, Sunday night session 2, Monday night will be session 3. The whole theme of the conference is about a closer walk with Jesus and a greater outpouring of his Holy Spirit. That's where we're going. That's what God's going to do here. And so, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you have done. Father, I thank you that you've opened ourselves up this morning. You've opened our spiritual ears and eyes to hear the truth of what your word would speak to us. Lord, I pray for anyone who is struggling with perception. I pray that, Father, if anyone who may be struggling with being in the boat with you or struggling with opening and allowing you to be alive and free within them, struggling, God, to even make you a number one priority in every part of their life. Father, today is their day of freedom. So if that's you, you can begin to make your way down. And Father, I pray a blessing upon everyone else who is with us this morning. I pray traveling mercies upon every individual in this facility and on these grounds, God. Let your Spirit comfort them. Let your Spirit encourage them. Let your Spirit guard them and protect them. And even the seeds that were sown today through the word and through the preaching and through the worship. Father, we declare that you are Lord and Savior. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the move of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you'd be with us throughout the week, God, stirring up that which is within us that you place there, that we can become stronger, more vibrant, more full of zeal and passion for you, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. We're going to leave the altars open for prayer, but thanks for being here today. God bless you. Have a safe time with your family and enjoy the game. Enjoy it. Enjoy whatever team that is your favorite. But we'll see you during the week or sometime next Sunday. God bless you.